What does the death of Osama bin Laden mean to the funding of his terrorist network?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. News of the death of Osama bin Laden has world stock markets higher, which we'll get to in just a moment. What we're not sure about is how the terrorist mastermind's death will affect financing of his al-Qaeda network in all its forms. The BBC's Owen Bennett Jones is en route to Pakistan, where bin Laden was killed, and he joins us now by phone. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning to you.
What does this do to terrorist financing in the short term, Owen?
To terrorist financing, I'd have thought it might provide a boost as people who are sympathetic to bin Laden try and redouble the struggle. But the fact is, financing's never really been an issue for al-Qaeda. They've had squeezes from time to time, and there's been evidence of that in some of the intelligence. But basically, they can get the money they need.
And you know, but long-term, the head of the monster is dead. Does that hurt them in the long run?
Well, I mean, I think in a way, bin Laden is no longer as big a figure as he was, you know, at the time of 9/11. So, al-Qaeda has spread its wings since he founded it. It's present in many parts of the world now with separate organizations, separate leaderships and so on. But I'm not sure that this will make the impact that it would have done had it happened, you know, 8-9 years ago.
I'm curious, Owen, you know, authorities say they tracked him down by following couriers to that big residence in Pakistan. Did the U.S. use financial tracking to do him in?
I very much doubt it. I mean, what's been happening, as I understand it, is that he hasn't been using any telephonic communications, satellite communications, anything like that. Everything done through people. So it made complete sense to me that those who were either arranging meetings for him with other jihadi leaders or passing messages for him would be the weak link in the chain.
The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones. Owen, thank you.
Thank you.
And world leaders, of course, are cheering the news of bin Laden's death. The French finance minister said today, among other things, the news will boost confidence in the U.S. economy and the dollar. Oil and gold are trading lower, and global stock markets are higher. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Investors are betting that the world just became a safer place. They've pulled their money out of so-called safe havens like gold and plowed it into riskier assets like shares. The price of oil has fallen too on the hope of a more peaceful Middle East. But some analysts have spotted a downside. Robert Cole is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says if the world is a safer place, it'll get harder for the US government to pay its way because US government bonds will be less attractive.
This has been the ultimate safe haven over the last 10 years. If people are getting more adventurous, perhaps money will come out of treasuries, which means that actually it could cost the US government more in interest going forward.
But other analysts say it is much too early to assume that the world is safer. The US State Department has warned of reprisals from al-Qaeda and has issued a global travel alert warning of the danger of increased anti-American violence. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So let's do the numbers. Well, markets around the world are higher. Japan's Nikkei was up 1.5% today. Shares in Europe are up slightly at the moment, too. Osama bin Laden's death gave investors hope for a more stable Middle East. Oil lost a little of its expensive luster, down below $113 a barrel. Southwest and AirTran Airlines put the cherry on top of their merger today. Now the hard part remains, incorporating a couple of different airlines into one happy family. Chrysler this morning said it made a profit for the first time since exiting bankruptcy. Dish Network said its profit more than doubled. And American markets on Friday, the Dow added 47 points to close at 12,810. For April, the Dow gained 4%, and it's up more than 10% since the beginning of the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Well, the killing of Osama bin Laden took place in a huge compound just outside of the Pakistani capital of Islamabad. Since 9/11, Pakistan has been an ally in the U.S. fight against terrorism and a recipient of billions of dollars in U.S. financial aid. But just how much a role Pakistan played in bin Laden's death is debatable. Dr. Farzana Sheikh is author of the book Making Sense of Pakistan, and she's with us now to talk about it. Hello.
Hello.
Did our ties with the country of Pakistan help us with this operation?
It's really very difficult to tell. I mean, as you know, we've had very strained relations between the United States and Pakistan in the last few weeks and months. And certainly the Pakistani government has gone out of its way in this morning's statement to say that the capture and killing of Mr. bin Laden was entirely an American operation. I think for the Pakistani authorities, it's extremely difficult in the climate of anti-Pakistani sentiment in the country to claim that it had a decisive role in this latest operation. I suspect, though, that the Pakistani authorities were probably not taken into confidence by the United States because, of course, there is a long history of mistrust between these two apparent allies.
Well, what about the financial relationship between the United States and Pakistan? We've given lots of money to Pakistan over the years in the anti-terrorism effort.
Absolutely. And that money, to the tune of something like $1 billion a year, could now be compromised because I think it's no secret that assistance to Pakistan was predicated on its cooperation in this war with the United States, and with the chief objective of that war having now been achieved, there will certainly be question marks about whether or not Pakistan deserves or merits to receive the kind of assistance that it has received from the United States over these last few years.
Dr. Farzana Sheikh, author of Making Sense of Pakistan. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
And there's more, of course, on the financial implications of Osama bin Laden's death at our website, marketplace.org. I'm on Twitter, Radio Chio. Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't ask, don't tell is still the law. So colleges and universities that don't let military recruiters on campus don't get federal dollars.
On average, it probably costs the law school about $500,000 a year.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the price you pay for taking a stand. Next time on Marketplace, today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.